The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we left with a couple of things hanging, as is often the case. For a 15-minute program, the taped portion of this, the program itself is about 12 and a half minutes. And at least for me, I often am discussing something and get to the end of the 12 and a half minutes, and there's a rather abrupt, the necessity of an abrupt end. And I was thinking after taping the program last week, there were a couple of things that were mentioned that might be well to go back and give some attention to. We were talking about cockroaches, and I was making some suggestions about how you can take care of the cockroaches by the use of insecticides. And for a great many people, this is a big bugaboo today, the use of insecticides. I have made nasty comments about part of environmentalism on occasion, and probably we will spend some particular programs about that later. But the notion that the whole earth and the whole universe is in balance, and anything that man does is going to upset that balance, at some point, at least, gets to be ludicrous. The fact is, if man is going to exist on the earth, he has to interfere with the natural balance on the earth. If he's going to feed himself, then he has to follow some practices that would not occur if there were no humans around. And somehow this necessity gets lost in a great deal of the verbiage and discussion that goes on. I'm not trying to argue here that man has always been wise in the interference he has made. This is demonstrably not true. But the fact is, God put man here, and he gave God the command to rule over the earth. This is something, again, that the environmentalists pitch running, screaming fits about. But it still is just the way it is, like it or not. That is the way God designed it. Now, the other thing that we were talking about that fits into some, at least obliquely to this, is the idea of the curse. I raised the question of why God chose to create cockroaches, and I made a comment to the effect that it was my opinion that this was probably evidence of the curse. And for those of you that may not be knowledgeable in the scripture, you may have no idea what I'm talking about. The biblical curse, of course, is something that occurred as a consequence of Eve and Adam's choice to disobey God. God, as a consequence of that disobedience, changed many of the things in creation. And it is because of that action that we find ourselves facing a great many rather unpleasant things in the earth. For example, the fact that women go through a great deal of pain in childbearing. The scripture is explicit. That was one of the consequences of Eve's disobedience. We're told that there are plants now that have thorns on them that did not have them before. It is my suspicion, at least, that probably most of the parasites or the pathogens, those organisms that feed on organisms internally, man included, tapeworms, for example, and those organisms that cause disease probably are different from what they were prior to that time. We do not know. We don't have any way to understand that, but it is something to me that is plausible. We know that God changed the eating habits of certain animals. There are a number of things which are necessary understandings about the difference between the world today and the world as God originally intended it. This would include, incidentally, the effects of man's sin. Wars would go into that category. The inhumanity that we see involving human interactions with one another. All sorts of things have come about simply as a consequence of man's sin. And happily, the scripture indicates that there will be a time when that will no longer be the case. There will be a time when the earth is going to be returned to the condition that it was prior to the time of the fall. I am looking forward to seeing that. I suspect that the earth during the Lord's millennial reign will exhibit many of those characteristics. There are things now that we have to put up with. We won't have to then. Sin will not be gone at that time. There will be still be unregenerate men on the earth at that time. But I think the condition of the earth itself is going to be different in many ways. And finally, there will be a point at which sin no longer is present. That also will be a delight that I think most of us really cannot have any conception of. But I use the term, and for a new believer or someone who has little knowledge of the scripture, you may not understand what I was talking about when I use the word curse. Now, with the idea of environmentalism then, it is necessary as a consequence of those changes that man follow certain practices today. Insecticides are a great way of dealing with vectors, organisms which transmit the pathogens, the organisms that cause disease. There are a great many people who fuss continually over DDT, for example. DDT is probably the most effective insecticide that has ever been invented. WHO, the World Health Organization, admitted in one of its publications that in the first, I don't remember the exact number of years, less than a decade, the use of DDT had been the basis of saving some 5 million human lives, because of the ability of that chemical to do away with the vectors for disease. Now, the argument goes up, well, it ended up being present in nature, in mother's blood, in bald eagles and whooping cranes and so on. And both of those comments are true to some degree. I'm a little less certain about the matter of thin eggshells being the result of DDT, for a reason it would take a while to talk about. Perhaps they were. I really don't know. I'm suspicious that that might not have been the case. But at any rate, we find a lot of things on the earth today that came about as a result of man's sin, and man has the intelligence to devise ways of handling those things that would be saving human lives, are saving human lives, that make our lives easier, that make our lives more comfortable. And there are those who are dead serious about the notion that we need to get rid of major portions of the population on the earth today. There are people who are dead serious about the idea of decreasing the population of the earth to 1 billion people or less. Now, there are something over 6 billion present. This means they would like to get rid of 5/6 of the earth population. Now, this is not something I'm going to debate particularly. It just is a truth that we have to face in this day. Now, the scripture indicates rather plainly that God is going to help with that a little bit, that in a period of less than 3.5 years, more than 1/2 of the population of the earth is going to die in coming judgments. If you will read carefully what the scripture prophesies regarding the judgments that occur in Daniel's 70th week, it is plain that more than half the population of the earth is going to die. That's more than 3 billion people. That ought to make some of these folks that are so desirous of decreasing world population immensely happy, although the conditions that occur on the earth are absolutely unbelievable at that time. They are such that no sane person would want to be involved with them, and yet the scripture indicates plainly that this is part of God's judgment on man's sin. that while God is a merciful God, he is long-suffering and merciful, not willing that any should perish. And yet there is an end to God's patience. And as we look around the earth today and see all of the things that are occurring, some things having been great surprises, the depths to which unregenerate men have gone, the abuse, the inhumanity of man to man, the debasing of man through drug use, the immorality, all of the things that we see are simply increasingly free expressions of unregenerate man's rebellion against God. It is that thing, that kind of thing, which causes God finally to say, all right, that's enough. Our Lord came and died on the cross in payment for man's sins. And yet the bulk of the world rejects that. And even those who have a clear understanding of the biblical teaching regarding the fact of Christ's death on the cross paying for man's sin, they reject that. And the bulk of the people on the earth do not accept that. And at some point, God simply is going to bring judgment on this behavior that unregenerate man not only practices constantly, but delights in. Romans 1 deals with that, talks about when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and so on. And the end of the chapter talks about the fact that not only did they sin, but they delighted in that sin. There is a passage in Revelation that has been very interesting to me. It describes a condition in the future where there is darkness and heat and little, if any, water, and the response of unregenerate men in that condition of God's judgment are not seeking repentance, but they are blaspheming God. And that tells us something about the nature of unregenerate man. So we live in a world where some effects of that original sin are still here, and which we simply of necessity have to endure until God sees fit to rectify the condition.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson @bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.